The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It's Friday, the 18th of July, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Thank you for joining me. We've got lots to talk about. I got a guest on the phone line who is calling in from Abaco with some special news. I think it's important for all of us to pay attention to. And then we get a couple of sports highlights. And then for the rest of the show, it's going to be open line. All Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry. We're doing open line. So let me give you all the numbers to call. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. The Family Island toll-free number is 242-300-5720. Text line is always powered by BTC. I got two quick housekeeping notes, and then we're going to go straight to our guest in Abaco. Let me remind you of the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition, open to junior and senior high school students throughout the archipelago. We need two pieces of information to win the government recording record for Loyalist Charles Farquharson's Will and the recorded date of Charles Farquharson's death. You can call the show. You'll be transferred to the producer. You give him your information, and you'll be contacted. We'll let you know if you won or if it's time to try again. Also, this evening, taking place at The Current, the art gallery at Bahama, there is a show and panel discussion, Archive and Intervention, Caribbean Archives in Question, in response to... a piece of work by Candy Knowles. Y'all forgive me, the image I'm looking at is very, very small. The event is moderated by Natalie Willis Wiley, and the featured panelists are Ricardo Barrett and Sonia Farmer. It's taking place tonight from 6 to 7:30 p.m. The Current Echo, and that's in the Grand Hyatt East Terrace tonight at 6 p.m. It's going to be a great discussion. All right, let's get straight to it. Joining me from the Special Olympics Bahamas Committee. Good morning, Madam Nicole Denardin-Russell. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. And you are the board chair for Special Olympics Bahamas?
Yes, ma'am. And I'm so excited to be here with you guys today.
Thank you for joining us. Now, I saw a notification flash up on my phone a few days ago, said Special Olympics. And so I went straight to the page to see, oh, wait, what's happening? Did I miss something? And then I reached out to Mr. Gilbert Williams.
Our national director.
Yes, I reached out to him, and he was like, listen, we got a year and a half to World Games, but we got lots of stuff going on. So I'd like to thank you for joining me to tell us what's happening in the world of Special Olympics Bahamas.
Absolutely. We're so excited. And quite frankly, in the realm of Special Olympics, a year away is actually not that long. But we have quite a bit of exciting things going on. We are trying to organize a unified bowling tournament in February of 2026. We have not decided on the venue yet, but please keep look out for that, because that's very excited for us. For those of you who don't know, Unified is a collaboration between special and neurotypical athletes, which is fun. So all our listeners, if you ever wanted to be a Unified partner, please reach out to us, because it's a really cool opportunity to get to work with some of our athletes. We also had our sports director recently participate in some quality game training in Oklahoma, which was really exciting. We are going to be having in August, three of our delegates are traveling to the Special Olympics North America Conference, August 4th through the 7th, which is super exciting. We will also be doing and are inviting all of you out to our annual raffle and grill out, where we will be selling tickets for chicken, fish, or rib and steak dinners, which we have tons of events going on. We have our Junkanoo Rush Out. We're going to be doing a fashion show. We have our annual hoopla game and other games, as well as our raffle tickets, which some of you might have seen. We have been selling around the Family Islands as well as in Nassau, and a lot of good prizes. So please look out for that. And then our biggest endeavor, as always, is the Summer World Games that we prepare for. Mm-hmm. We will be trying to take a 20-member team with athletes and coaches to Santiago. So all funds, you know, go towards operational costs, but we do have to plan ahead of time to be able to give these athletes an opportunity, because Special Olympics Bahamas has been representing the Bahamas on a global level for many, many years from the beginning. So all of your support, any general donations, small or large, is very welcome.
Absolutely. And when you hear requests for donations to Special Olympics Bahamas, I think, you know, I'm not sure if we are looking at it with the right eyes, right? On Fridays, I typically carve out about sports, Bahamians and sports, and sports in the Bahamas. And I'm not sure if we're given enough shine and enough attention to the achievements of the athletes, right? So this is not a request to support a charitable organization or initiative. This is a request to support some of the most talented athletes in the Bahamas. Athletes whose records challenge our able-bodied or neurotypical athletes. Challenge their records. In fact, I'm looking at a spotlight, athlete spotlight for Anita Lynx Monker, Special Olympics athlete extraordinaire. She's had 40 plus years of competing, 8 Special Olympics World Games appearances, 7 Special Olympics World Games medals, 5 different sports, 3 gold medals, 1 amazing athlete, right? And so we want to say good morning to Anita Lynx Monker, because the vast majority of athletes competing in or for the Bahamas.
Absolutely. And I think that's a common misconception in Special Olympics in general, is that these are not athletes that could compete on such an amazing level. These are very high trained, very diligent, and just amazing athletes. And to point out too, that Anita is one of our delegates that will be traveling to the conference this coming month as an athlete advocate. So not only are they outstanding athletes, but they're actually advocates for their own mission, for their own cause. They're out having conversations with people across the world to really represent the Bahamas in such a beautiful way. And I think that that's so important.
Oh, man, absolutely. And after, we've all been delving into the results of the global school health report, right? Global health school report. Surveyed a couple thousand students between, I think, the ages of 13, 17 across 8 islands, right? And some of the statistics on health are troubling. I think we have like 10% vegetable intake, something like maybe 12% fruit intake, 14% of students are hitting their physical activity markers. And so if students, or we call neurotypical students, are being impacted or are having this experience, then what's happening with kids with intellectual needs or special kids or non-neurotypical kids, right? And how are they being encouraged or provided access to safe activity, you know, and physical activity? And so I wanted to ensure that we remembered that non-neurotypical people and young people in particular are also a part of this conversation, and we must be concerned about what they need as we bring our children up to a healthier standard.
Absolutely. In fact, one of the main contributions for Special Olympics is the research behind neurodivergent and special needs individuals often have shorter life expectancies and more, you know, prone to health issues because people normally, you know, often see them as not capable, or they don't even try to incorporate them in events because of their intellectual disabilities, leading to a much higher risk of many health issues. So being part of that conversation for both neurotypical and neurodivergent athletes is paramount. So I love that framework that you're thinking at.
Thank you. Thank you. Now let's get to the annual round, Saturday the 16th mm-hmm. of August.
Yes, from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. at the Stapleton School.
Dolphin Drive. Now, the raffle,
yes.
The raffle drawing, 6 p.m.
Yes.
What I raffling for? What's the top prize?
The top prize is actually prizes. So cash prizes was one of the higher interest that people were showing. So there's a $3,000 cash prize for first and a $1,200 cash prize for second. And then we have 16 amazing prizes that includes like two nights stay at Breezes, additional cash prizes, a fitness membership for all our in there, mm-hmm. And then many gift certificates to, a seafood voucher and various other places around NASA, which is really exciting. And if you go to our website, you can find out how to get tickets based on the area, or just reach out to us and we could make sure to get you some.
All right. I saw on the flyer 4260233. That's 4260233 or 359-3558. Contact for information on how to get your raffle ticket and your grill ticket. Listen, y'all don't play on this raffle, you know, because imagine you could win a night for two at Breezes and then give it to your mommy and your children and tell them, y'all go, let me have a vacation at home, please. Right? Like,
yes. And it's even for our out islanders, you know, maybe they want to come and visit Napa Breezes as well.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. We had a couple of callers call in and we sort of missed them. And so if they call back, I'm sure they have questions to ask, or they want to encourage the team of organizers, right, on this awesome initiative. Now, I was doing a little research and I saw in May you guys had the bocce championship.
We did.
And producer,
yes,
let's prep the call. Okay, awesome. Who ended up being the champion?
Well, we had various divisions. I think we were proud to say the overall winners for the games was Abaco this year.
Okay.
So we were quite proud of that. Our athletes were very thrilled. But bocce, we also division based on sizes. So we had team play, one-on-one. Various islands took different medals for the various events, which was cool.
I heard y'all had some special participants at that tournament.
Yes. Yes, we did.
Is it a dignitary or a celebrity participated in the doubles match?
Yes, we had both. We had them participating in the, you know, the highlight match.
Okay.
We taught them to play, and it was very exciting. It's always an honor when our dignitaries come and support our athletes.
Awesome, awesome. All right, so we're preparing for Summer World Games 2027. Special Olympics Bahamas is attempting to take a 20-member team, including coaches, to Chile in 2027. This is one of those initiatives we need to support. Don't think of it as a charitable contribution. Think about it as contributing to some of the country's best, well, to one of the country's most successful athletic platforms. and some of the country's most successful athletes as they continue their athletic careers.
Absolutely.
All right, so numbers numbers to call, 426-0233-359-3558. And let's go to the phone line, producer. Sorry about that, caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning. You can hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Good morning. Guess what you say she named?
This is Nicole Denadin Russell.
Miss Russell, good morning, Miss Russell. You know, I say this is a good opportunity for those guys who be involved with the PPP, the private public partnership thing, to assist and work along with the Special Olympic Association, like especially how you said in health. Tell me something. Miss Russell, if she, I don't know if she could hear me clear. I could ask her everything and then maybe hang up and then maybe listen. What about the lady who you talk about, who been doing it, who you say she maybe even get more medals, the most outstanding athlete?
Anita Munka.
Over the years, what she been doing it. And Miss Russell says she's going to be a part of it or something like that, or she works on,
so she's
on
going,
the board or something.
She's going to the conference as an athlete advocate.
So tell me something. People like her, persons like her, right? Do we have like do they have like what the word is to use? What do you call them things? Like, I mean, they have them ceremonies when they like the athlete of the year, the end of the year. And,
right, dude. Is there an award, a national award system?
Yeah, do they do that? Like how they do it for the able-bodied persons? That's one, right? The next one is that you know, like how they, I was told because I can't see, I'm disabled also. So I'm happy to speak on, say something on behalf of my disabled people, you know, and able-bodied people. You know, by the airport where they have pictures up and stuff with those persons up there, is those Special Olympians with being represented in the Bahamas in the past over the years, huh?
Not yet.
Not yet. Okay, that's something we need. This must be something to do with inclusion, eh?
Yes.
Yeah. That's something we need. That's something we need to work on. And tell me something. You know, like how they have this thing where they do it now, where they have four persons running, two man and two women.
Mixed relays.
Or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Either three man and one woman or something like that. You think it's some, I don't know, if we could add maybe two more people or one more person. We get outstanding Special Olympians, persons, athletes in all of these countries. Let's say the Bahamas is one of them who proven to be in the finals for the official Olympics, then we'll have to bring a disabled person from the Special Olympics for whatsoever country that is running in lane 1, 2, 3, 4 to the end. Cause I think we could do that. Then I think I remember say we supposed to be doing something in Nassau soon. What was started in the Bahamas or did the most time in the Bahamas? The triple what you call it? The relay thing.
Oh yeah, the B3. Well, it's now the World Athletics.
Well, I think
relays.
The first or the second one. I think we had it before, where we had it live on TV. I was wondering if Miss Russell think maybe they could talk with the government or the Ministry of Youth and Sports to see if they could be involved again and it could be on TV. Some people might take it for amusement and get a little joke with it, but I believe my disabled people, they take that dead seriously.
Representation matters.
And they take it as a real competition. You understand? And we must consider them just like that. Let's put them up there, although I can't see, put them up there by the airport where you all get them other pictures of the people.
We can talk to Mr. Mitchell. We can talk to Mrs.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you. We could lobby for the inclusion of our neurodivergent athletes in all halls of memoriam, right? In all museums. That if they are competing at a world-class level, then they are recognized with all of our world-class athletes. And that idea of ensuring that there's representation in what they call that, the Hall of Champions or the Wall of Champions in the airport, without a doubt. And let's start right now, Papa, with advocating for Anita Lynx Moncur's image to also be displayed on the wall. Miss Russell, that was Pauper, a local advocate for the disabled community.
Absolutely. I think that is one of the key avenues that Special Olympics Bahamas has been trying to navigate in recent years. Our national director, Mr. Gilbert Williams, has been instrumental in that movement. So we were able to actually have, you know, a highlight race in the last Carifta Games that was held in the Bahamas, which ended up kind of being before the venue, you know, started. So I don't know how many people know that we were actually at the Carifta Games and was able to run with the other Carifta athletes. But those are movement, those are, you know, initiatives that we can keep at to keep trying to advocate for these athletes on a world-class level. We were also included in the National Sports Awards, a huge honor for us in recent years. So that is a move towards athlete recognition for our special athletes. And these type of events, we also had attempted to try to go to the last Carifta Games, which didn't end up working out, but it's still something that we're trying for because our athletes are at that level. So it's these, and also at the World Relays, we were able to do, it was the World Relays that we did the event at, I'm so sorry, in the Bahamas when it was held last time, which was really, really exciting for us. So we were able to participate in the World Relays and those types of things, at least attend and see. So there small steps we're taking. We also did, you know, a Hall of Fame for our athletes that have been involved in this in the organization from the beginning. So Miss Anita Moncur is part of them. We have our Hall of Fame within our office in the Special Olympics office, but to get them in more public places would be huge for us. So I think if the disability community of all disabilities were to get together and advocate for each other, that might be additional we could move forward.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we're preparing for three big events. We have, of course, the Saturday, 16th of August annual raffle grill fun day fundraiser, 16th of August, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., Stapleton School, Dolphin Drive. Drawing is at 6 p.m., Ms. Russell? At least that's what
I guess it is.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
Drawing is at 6 p.m. Contact information for raffle and grill tickets, 426-0233 or 359-3558. And then August 4th through 7th, three Bahamian athletes are going to the conference, global conference. And Anita...
Yes.
Moncur,
the North America Conference.
Sorry, North America Conference. And Anita Moncur will also be joining them, and she's an athlete advocate and preparing for Summer World Games, Chile 2027. We're trying to send 20 people to the World Games to represent the Bahamas.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Ms. Russell. Hold on, there's a text here. And I want to read it while you're on air. It says, Erin, let Papa know that it is a real competition because it starts in the mind of the disabled. The fact that it's not belief, but knowledge, you know that they are physically able to compete and discipline themselves speaks volumes. Many people rendered disabled would not even do what they're doing because they would automatically become overwhelmed with oppression. I think that text is speaking to the spirit, the emotional intelligence that neurodivergent people, non-neurotypical people develop in an attempt to navigate this world. And he's saying, you know, us able-bodied people and able-bodied people who may have been rendered disabled, you know, that we may not understand the type of courage it takes for these athletes to take up this path. And he says, Ms. Russell, you are doing a great deed. You are doing
it. Oh, well, thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you. If I could just mention, I do have one athlete that comes every single day, three times a day to practice basketball, 7 days a week. So the dedication is there.
Yeah.
He is there by himself or with others. And it's just incredible to see the hurdles that they have to go through. We had an athlete with cerebral palsy that, he's in a wheelchair, but he got up on a global stage and able to walk, even though it's slower than some other people. Effort and training that goes into it is just mind-blowing.
Absolutely. Thank you, Ms. Russell. Thank you again. And
thank you
to all of the members of Special Olympics Bahamas. committee and all of the athletes that continue to show us that doing the best for yourself is doing the best for your community, is doing the best for your country.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Producer, let's go to a break. And when we get back from the break, we're going to highlight some more local athletes. We've got Jazz Chisholm. We've got the under 14 girls inaugural Babe Ruth champions. And we're honoring the Lutherans. We're honoring the Lutherans. So we're going to get to some more athlete spotlight highlights after the break. You guys stay tuned. And thank you for tuning in. On the Clock with Aaron Green. We'll be right back.
Boy, why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy, just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave his boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No, boy. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crock Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know who you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Nassau Cruise Board, collect! Carter Rump presents the Made in the Bahamas Festival. Join us on Saturday, July the 19th from 3 p.m. to 12 p.m. Cultural Affair, hosted by Kenny and the Mighty Pencil. Get ready for live performances by Avi, Fanshawn, Ancient Man, and more. Plus music by the best DJs. Enjoy entertainment by the Royal Bahamas Police Force Band, a Junkanoo Rush Out, giveaways, and tasty Bahamian food. Admission is only $10, so don't miss out. Drink responsibly and celebrate proudly.
Hey kids, it's back. The Jeff Rogers Summer Basketball Camp, July 28th to August 8th at the Kendall Isaacs Gym. Monday to Friday, 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. for boys and girls, 5 to 18. Pair and learn from the NBA superstars past and present, including our very own Buddy Hield of the Golden State Warriors, Klay Thompson of the Dallas Mavericks, former Laker great Michael Sweet Bells Thompson, another great among the point guards back in the day, Muggsy Bogues, and many others. Application forms now at the Bahamas Conference of Seventh-day Adventists, Tonic Williams, Darling Highway. Call 341-4021 or check the website, Jeff Rogers Basketball Camp.com.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
At Cleveland Clinic, care is everything. So when your primary purpose is to care for the world, you'd start with your community. Until you're accessible anywhere. You make complexities your specialties and put compassion before anything else. All to redefine what's possible. For everyone, everywhere. For every care in the world. Cleveland Clinic.
Hey, Brylin, sweetie!
Good morning. Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green. Y'all forgive me. I almost started singing the lyrics just now. I forget I have to open the show. Well, since we are talking about Harbor Island, we're going to go straight to this story, A Lutherans to be Honored. This is in the Tribune yesterday, because today is the 18th of July. Some of the top community builders and sporting icons, including Dexter Cambridge, Richard the Lionheart Johnson, and Chris Fireman Brown, will be honored for their contributions to the development of the island of Eleuthera next weekend. The Point Millennials nonprofit organization will host the list, will honor the list of persons during the All Eleuthera Cultural Festival, scheduled for Saturday, July 26th at the Workers' House in Governor's Harbor. The activities will kick off at noon with a day of old-fashioned fun featuring Bahamian-themed karaoke, a rake-and-scrape dance competition, musical chairs, madness, bone-chilling Bahamian ghost stories, ring play, hand games, kite-making, and flying competition, and hopscotch and jump rope corner. That will be followed by the Beacons of Light ceremony, where those individuals who have made an impact on the island of Eleuthera will be honored. Among the Beacon of Light awardees are former Member of Parliament and now Reverend Philip Bethel, Commissioner of Police Shanta Knowles, Sergeant Rudy Pratt, Lionel Sands, Danny DaCosta, Eileen Sineas, Anishka Fernanda George, Demetrius Johnson, Charmaine Culmer, Brenda Lee Petty, Dr. Seabreeze, and Lady Di. Also being honored are some members of 2025 in Eleuthera with the Junior Beacon of Light and Civic Spirit Award. The recipients are Canaron Pinder from the Samuel Guy Pinder All-Age School, Antoine Allen from Central Eleuthera High School, Siren Francis from Windermere High School, Kenia Minnis from North Eleuthera High School, and Brene Panzer from the Preston H. Albury High School. Congratulations to all of the honorees. Cambridge, Dexter Cambridge, who left Eleuthera to attend the A.F. Adley Secondary High School, where he excelled on the Tigers senior boys basketball team before he went on to play for the Lon Morris Junior College and then with the Texas Longhorns. Upon graduating, Cambridge went on to sign with the Dallas Mavericks as an undrafted small forward in 1992 to play his only season in the NBA. Cambridge, who stood at 6'7", eventually went on to play in Europe up until 2001, where he officially retired. But since then, the 55-year-old now a physical education teacher at North Eleuthera High School since 2016, said he's never been honored for his contributions in the Bahamas until now. Now, right on Eleuthera and his native settlement of James Siston, to be precise, Richard Johnson developed his skills as a pitcher thanks to the Bahamian minor league professional baseball player Shad Roll. But after he migrated to New Providence, Johnson excelled as the top pitcher in the New Providence Softball Association with the Kingpins, Budweiser Eagles, and the mainstay on the men's national softball team for more than two decades. For his performances, he was inducted into the National Softball Federation's Hall of Fame in 2007 and the Bahamas Softball Federation's Hall of Fame in 2009. Then in 2023, he was enshrined into the Fast Pitch Legends Hall of Fame of the Greater Houston area. While there are too many highlights to remember from his local campaign, Johnson had two memorable performances that have been inked into the international history books. One, he pitched 19 innings. He pitched 19 innings in a 2-1 victory for the Bahamas over New Zealand at the 1980 ISF Men's World Championships, and two, struck out 12 batters in a no-hitter in 9 innings over Mexico for the bronze medal. After the event in Eleuthera on Saturday, July 26th, they're bringing an expo to New Providence. It'll be held at the Holy Trinity Activity Center August 2nd, because they want Nassau people to give them the congratulations, and some of the honorees are unable to make it back to Eleuthera for the Saturday, July 26th. I got a text here that said, "Good morning, Aaron. There is a young man by the name of Daron Forbes who resides somewhere off Claridge Road and has been representing the Bahamas at Special Olympics for several years and has amassed a record number of medals in various sports, but hasn't been recognized. Someone need to look into this and give this young Bahamian what he deserves." You're right, we need to give him what he deserves. Now, I know a bit of Daron Forbes' athletic career. I think he's a 400-meter runner, and I think he is one of the best. One of the best in the country. I think 400 is his top discipline, his race of choice, and you're absolutely right. He is a super star. I think he may have been unbeaten in that race, maybe up until his last performance. So I think he may have come home with a gold or competed and secured gold in his most recent outing. All right, another athlete highlight or athlete's highlight. This one is special to me. Bahamas' 14 and under girls win inaugural softball title at Babe Ruth International. Y'all hear that? 14 and under girls win inaugural softball title at Babe Ruth International. The Bahamas' 14 and under girls national softball team celebrated their independence holiday by winning the inaugural softball title at the 2025 Babe Ruth International Invitational in Fort Myers, Florida. The team was made up of the coaching staff and players from both New Providence and Grand Bahama. Shane Albury, manager of the team that was coached by Deshae Stubbs, and both Alvuen Hall and Oscar Green from members of the team included Jemiah Thompson, Gajay Green, Tamara Bullitt, Kylia London Green, Destiny Adelson, Kaya Sweeting, Markayla Foster, Madison Dillard, Paris Lowe, Cassidy Jones, Mariah Joseph, Janiyah Moxie, and Callie Flowers. Quote, the team showed great resilience, started with a bang, then lost a close game that we let slip through the cracks, close quote, said Albury, of the team that finished with a 5-1 win-loss record and the championship. Team Bahamas, with Albury back as manager and Stubbs working with assistant coaches Winton Sears and Angelo Dillard, the pitching coach, will take an 18 and under team to play in the 2025 Pony International World Series in McAllen, Texas. From right now, they're there now. Named to this team, the under 18, 18 and under team, are Destiny Adelson, Caitlin Bain, Tamara Bullitt, Madison Dillard, Markayla Foster, Gajay Green, Kylia London Green, Cassidy Jones, Mariah Joseph, Paris Lowe, Kaya Sweeting, and Jemiah Thompson. Like I said, this story is special to me because Oscar Green is my nephew and Kylia is my grandniece. And I'm so excited for my nephew who has dedicated himself and growing young athletes and growing youth sports in the country. And to Kylia, who is a phenomenal athlete and an excellent student, I just want to say special good morning to them and special good morning to all of the team. Team Bahamas, congratulations on your championship at the inaugural Invitational. All right, we're going to go to a little international news here. Our guy, Jazz. Jazz, first Bahamian to take part in the MLB All-Star Classic. It was quite an unforgettable experience for Jazzerado Jazz Chisholm Jr. as he became the first Bahamian to participate in the Major League Baseball All-Star Classic at Truist Park in Atlanta, Georgia. He made his debut in the home run derby with just 3 home runs off his Bahamian stepfather, mentor, and coach Geron Sands, on Monday night. Chisholm Jr. entered the All-Star game last night in the 6th inning as a reserve. The 27-year-old New York Yankees second baseman went 0-4-3, but he got to play through the final 4 innings as the National League rebounded from a 5-2 deficit to tie the score at 6-6 before the game was called. We're going to say congratulations to Jazz. Again, first Bahamian to participate in the Major League Baseball All-Star Classic. Some great stuff here. And we've got more sports headlines to talk about. But there is a thing, right? There's a thing that I wanted to throw on the table sort of in response to the national honors. There were a number of athletes featured on this year's National Honors List. I can only call off the names I recognize, like Quincy Pratt, the champion boxer. We got Jonquel Jones, we've got Jazz, we've got Kai Jones on the, we've got VJ Edgecombe on the list as well. If I have missed any names of athletes that have been honored this year on the National Honors List, let me start off by apologizing, and then let me continue by saying this is one of the reasons why bios, right, should be published or disseminated at the same time that the list is published and disseminated. So we know who the honorees are, and we could get a sense of why they are being honored. But here's the question, right? It's a bit controversial, but I think we could ask it, and we could think about it if we don't talk about it, right? Looking at the athletes that were honored, are we prioritizing participation on global platforms over local achievement, right? Are people being honored for just being seen on the international platform? Are they being prioritized over people who have made tremendous at home, right, on the ground, local? Now, this conversation, these questions, this interrogation is in no way intending to denigrate, devalue the contributions of those athletes who are on the list, right? But one of the first questions I ask myself is this. Quincy Pratt's on the list. VJ Edgecombe is on the list. Now, we've seen that in the last 3 years, three, 4 years, has been in the news, right? We've seen his achievements at the high school level. We've seen his achievement at the tertiary, the college level. And now we are seeing him taking his stride and making awesome achievements, even in the infancy of his professional NBA career. But the question is, has VJ Edgecombe achieved enough to be on the list at the same time as a Quincy Pratt? Right? Are we honoring these people for the attention that they draw back on the country? Like, are they being honored for their contribution to the tourism product? Right? I don't think it's unfair to ask these questions. Another question I put on the table. Who among the NBA players who have been honored, and say particularly in this cycle, who among the NBA players have achieved what Jonquel Jones has achieved? Should a Kai Jones be on the list at the same time as a Jonquel Jones? Has Kai attained and the level of play that a Jonquel Jones has achieved? Now, sometimes, like, because I am making the critical interrogation, right, doesn't mean that those who composed the list thought the same thing that I thought and then made a decision. It could be that they didn't even think about it, right? But what does it mean that a Kai Jones and a Jonquel Jones are being honored at the same time? Now, Let me make it pellucidly clear. They're not both receiving the same award. Right, I think Jonquel's award is slightly higher in the rank, is higher in the ranking than Kai Jones's award. But what is the criteria? What are we using to make these determinations? Should a Kai Jones be on the list at the same time as a Jonquel Jones? See, I could see a Jonquel and a Quincy Pratt being honored at the same time, right? And what's the rationale? I don't want to say what motivates the decisions, because that would suggest that people are being motivated maybe by personal opinions, but what is the criteria used, right, to determine who should be on the list or which list they should be on or when they should be added to the list? And are we doing our athletes a disservice by honoring them in this way? And now, you know, let's go back to Vijay for a second, because I don't want you all to think that I am disregarding his contributions, right? Star high schooler, went off to college, got to Baylor State, and helped them get to the championships, without a doubt. To the March Madness NCAA, without a doubt. We're not taking that away from him. Before he got to university, he was named in the top five high school basketball players in the United States of America. Right? We're getting all of that. He helped lead the team on their run to the Olympics. That's tremendous. And we know that his, right, is a big part of why he was the number three pick in the NBA draft, right? We're getting all of that. All of that, Vijay, you are truly tremendous, right? But does being picked to participate, right? Being picked to participate, does that equal winning a championship, an MVP? And then I will go to our next guy, DeAndre Ayton. He's also on the list. See, for me, you can't compare. If I make a comparison between DeAndre and Buddy Hield, right? And producer, let's prep the phone line. I'm not sure that Ayton is performing at the same level as Hield. And I don't just mean on the court. I mean off the court as well. Now, mind you, Ayton, I'm never going to forget to say when I say your name that I appreciated the energy you bring to the team and your ability to connect to younger centers and big men on the court like yourself. But let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Morning.
Morning.
What I would like to say, too, I'm a part of Special Olympics, right?
Yes,
one
ma'am.
Of the coaches.
Okay.
What happened? The parents, we have these children, and the parents don't even bother to come out or to even support. Who children they for?
Mm-hmm.
Answer me.
I got you. Yeah.
You know, so that's what they need to do. And then Mrs. Singham from Abaco, who called you, who was on the show, I wanted to speak to her then too, right?
Mm-hmm.
These people need supervision.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
They need supervision. And the parents need to come out and help to supervise, because they know who they bring up.
I got you.
Okay?
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Green.
Absolutely. Right? Okay, so we on sort of the outside, we need to lobby for systems that enable greater participation by the parents of special needs athletes, right? Because I appreciate what you're saying, absolutely. First of all, the kids want to see their people. Let's prep the next caller, producer. The kids want to see their people watching them, right? But we also know that the life of a parent is just the work never ends, and then it can double. It could be even more complex when you're caring for a child with special needs. And what if you have other children as well you have to care for? So we need to build systems that enable greater participation, as well as getting on the parents and encouraging them. What I have to do to help you get out to watch your kids compete or train? Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing?
I good, thank you. How you doing?
Boy, buddy's a walking bucket.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He dangerous. That's the difference between him and Ayton. Ayton, I think he need more development, and he need to get more serious about his game.
Mm-hmm.
We I
agree with you.
Asked you, buddy, right? Steph Curry even complimented him on his game.
Yeah, and Steve Kerr, you see, even in the face of Draymond the Enforcer, Green the Enforcer, Steve Kerr tell him, no man, I like this, but he's doing exactly what I asked him to do. Anyway, listen, we are out of time for On the Clock with Aaron Green in the next hour. So open line. I don't like to sit here and just listen to myself talking about my feelings. So headlines until you tell me what you want to talk about. So stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. We talking what you want to talk, so stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.